This is
brutal. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
And it is Lost in the Static. Scott's not here, unfortunately. Or I should say, unfortunately, I'm here. And unfortunately, again, my co-host this week is...
Hank Carlson, the one and only.
Thank God there's only one. But Hank, did you know that there's this great thing called AdamandEve.com?
No, tell me more.
See, if you go to AdamandEve.com and you use the promo code STATIC, you get 50% off of a single item.
Wow, so if I use STATIC, like the name of the radio show, I get 50% off all my sex toy needs?
Off of a single item. But wait, there's more!
Really?
You also get free shipping.
Wow.
Do you think that's all they're providing? You also get 3 free DVDs.
3?
And I'm not done yet! You also get a free mystery gift for using the promo code STATIC.
Will it be wrapped?
I don't know. But you're going to love my nuts.
D's nuts?
I don't know. I'm sure there's some sort of nuts things at AdamandEve.com. But
wow. That's incredible.
Imagine that. Just using the promo code STATIC, you get free shipping, 50% off a single item, 3 free DVDs, and a free mystery gift that's so mysterious even I don't know what it is.
God, they're giving it away for free. Isn't there a law against something like that?
You would think they've lost their minds.
God.
Go to crazyadamandeves.com right now.
Stuff like this is only legal in Nevada.
And on most of America.
And the internet.
As long as you're not in a Bible Belt state.
And I'm sure it comes wrapped in brown paper bags, so.
No, mine just came in an envelope that said adamandeve.com.
Interesting.
But I also have no humility or shame, so.
Keep if your mom finds it.
I don't live with my mom, so who gives a shit?
Well, some of our listeners might.
That's true. Okay. You got me on that one.
Maybe they should gift wrap it in an inconspicuous wrapping paper.
No.
No.
All right. We've already spent enough time on the Adam and Eve promo.
All right. So go to AdamandEve.com.
It's
wonderful. Yeah, .com. Wonderful site. If you want everything from pocket pussies, anal beads, gels, lubes, lingerie.
A fan wrote us he bought a Brie Olsen pocket anus from
there.
Wow. Yeah. And because of our code, he didn't give us a follow-up email, so I don't know.
And the wonderful thing about Adam and Eve is if you go, people can leave feedback. So you can tell if it's tight, if it's junk,
if it broke off in your ass and you had to go to the emergency room.
Yeah, and there's probably blooper reels on YouTube somewhere that you can see
you
that,
can't,
too.
You can't have porn on YouTube.
Oh, the red site.
Porn tube,
yeah.
Yeah. So our actual topic tonight, since we've already blown over 3 minutes on the Adam and Eve promo... Hank and I are going to be discussing realism in comics. Now, I need to preface this for both Hank and for the listeners. There is another show on Jackalope called Brute Squad, hosted by Todd Sheets and Johnny. Well, they don't want realism in their comics. They're constantly complaining about how realism in the real world is creeping into their comic books. And they're allowed to have their opinion. I'm not demeaning them, okay? For one thing, Todd's my boss and Johnny's a nice guy. So I'm not demeaning them. But I disagree with them in such a major way. I think realism in comics adds to the fun of a comic. Do you agree with that?
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I want to see... Well, comics, I think, have grown in general since when they first came out. You know, if you want to see fictitious things, I mean, go and read Little Lulu and Scrooge McDuck and things like that. But I'd rather see that if somebody gets punched in the face by Superman, he might not have a face.
Well, I'm talking more of realism of how our real world operates. Like, you always see this, especially in the cartoons and that, and, you know, in Spider-Man comics, he busts some jewel thief running down the street and he webs him up and he leaves him for the cops. How would that hold up in court? Think about it. Because Spider-Man says you did something, you did it. Why doesn't Spider-Man have to testify? There's no other ancillary evidence that this guy was robbing this jewelry store in the middle of the night. You don't know if Spider-Man planted those jewels on him. I want to see Peter Parker being dragged in front of a grand jury, having to unmask himself because part of our legal system is you cannot testify under an alias, so he would have to unmask himself and reveal his real name, and I want to see him testifying in open court. I want to see Batman doing this. This is ridiculous that they're above the law. Just because Spider-Man says you committed a crime, you committed a fucking crime. That's ridiculous.
Well, they kind of touched on that in what was that movie with Will Smith that I can't think of the name. The superhero movie that
he did.
Yeah,
the really terrible one.
Yeah. But I mean I appreciated that movie for that very reason, because you always see this,
sorry, the plot twist at the end of that movie actually made me shit myself in anger because of how ridiculous it was.
I wiped my ass with the ticket stub.
Yeah, Hancock, and that's the movie.
Yeah, that's what Hancock.
It's
so
more like hand in my cock.
or in my ass, cleaning it. No, but I've always wanted to see that. Like, what is the aftermath of, you know, when there's this big, you know, world war between all the Marvel superheroes and villains, and, you know, they tear apart the city, but you never see what happens afterwards. What's the outcome and the downfall of the superheroes?
I'd like to see what an insurance agent, you know, is if your car is destroyed by Captain America throwing a shield at Magneto, does that qualify under Act of God, or do you have to get out a special policy if you live in New York to get insurance against, you know, the Hulk rampaging through or something?
That it'd be a pretty funny that'd be an interesting comic book.
They actually sort of had one. It was called Damage Incorporated.
Oh yeah,
it was in the
80s. Remember it?
The whole comic was cleaning up after superhero battles and the companies that had to rebuild the buildings and replace people's cars and shit, and it was an out-and-out comedy, and I loved that. But people don't want that. Do you remember about a year ago when Superman renounced his American citizenship?
Right.
Just the fervor of people going, that's bringing the real world into my fantasy world. I just want to see guys in tights beating people up, which is mildly homoerotic in that sense right there.
They're the ones that are reading Little Lulu and masturbating in their parents' basement too, probably, right?
Yeah, it's Death Clock fans. We masturbate in the sheets your mother's wash for you.
Hey, Mom, clean up.
But look at a book that utterly failed, not on a creative level, but on a sales level, like Stormwatch Team Achilles. Did you ever read that one?
I'm not even familiar with that.
I'll have to let you borrow them. I've got all the issues, but you're going to be a little disappointed in the ending. It was canceled with one issue left to go. They were already finishing the stories when they canceled the book, so the final issue never saw print.
That's another thing that pisses me off about books and movies and general TV shows. When they cancel, just finish the fucking thing. Let everybody that's watched it, even if you've had five loyal watchers or readers, give it to them.
Hank, it's gotten so bad in TV now. Did you see what happened to the Playboy Club?
I know it's gone.
One episode. It was canceled after the pilot episode aired. The pilot didn't get good enough ratings, so we're not even trying a second episode.
Yeah, that's
That's ridiculous.
They need to, maybe it was on against, you know, some football game.
It wasn't very good. The reviews were all bad, but it should have been given
at least
a chance to grow.
Five episodes or something.
Because let's go back to Star Trek for a minute. Next Generation.
Right.
Had a horrible, that pilot episode was
Failed.
Terrible.
Yep.
But they gave it a chance to build an audience. You know,
and it did.
You look at Enterprise, even though the show was terrible, the pilot was horrible. You didn't know if that show was going to get any better, and eventually did in season 4, but by then too much damage had been done.
Yep.
But go back to Stormwatch Team Achilles. It was basically, what if super? You got to remember, this is the Image universe. So
okay.
What if all this was real and happened in our everyday lives? And Stormwatch was a group of mostly normal military humans whose job it was to police the superhero community of the Wildstorm universe.
Okay.
And you had episodes that dealt with how they got their funding, how they found out the superhero's secret origins, how they, you know, all the politics of trying to keep their legal status and all this. And people were going, this is boring. I don't care about their funding battles. Fuck you. It was damn interesting the way they did it in the book. The book was utterly realistic. They beat the Authority every time they went up against them. And you know how they did it?
How?
Real-world military tactics.
Imagine that.
They had real military advisors that, you know, were involved in the Iraq War and Nam and stuff that were saying, well, if the superhero's ability is to do this and they went here, then what we would do is try to flank them like this and use this against them.
Which
is damn interesting.
Right. And that's
a bunch
how it
of
would
regular
be done too.
Humans with guns taking out the equivalent of Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it in a brilliant fashion. Nobody read this book. Because it to them it was boring. They weren't filled with a bunch of fights. They were filled with tacticians and strategy. To me, that's interesting. I can't recommend Stormwatch Team Achilles any higher to the listeners.
See, I think if it gets too much like the real world for some, they use comics as, because a real world right now is totally fucked up. And it doesn't look like it's improving anytime soon. So
the same
complaints
happened after 2001.
Yeah.
Remember how Captain America, like the very first issue of Captain America that came out after 2001, was him defending a Muslim American that was basically part of a lynch mob from a bunch of, you know, real Merkins. And people were like, no, that's intruding on my fantasy world.
Well, didn't he vow after the Twin Tower collapse that he was going to hunt down the terrorists, too?
I don't remember. I only read Captain America sporadically at that point.
Okay.
So I might have missed that one.
That was like the big thing, is that they used that as a relaunch for Captain America because it's America. And he was going to, you know, hunt down the guys that did this. And that was with what you just said. It was the whole premise of relaunch of that comic, which then sucked me in, but then all of a sudden it turned into other things, and I specifically bought into it because I like that realism, but then, you know, once they started getting people hooked, then they took it into a different direction.
But you also have to look at how times have changed, not only for comic books, but for the readers. Look at how when Green Lantern, Green Arrow did their really realistic story arc in the 70s, it was praised. Now that same kind of story arc is, it's invading on my fantasy world.
Well, that I think one of the things I was going to get at before is that people, there's a group of people that, because our world's so much in the dumpster right now, that they use comics as an escape. So I think that they don't want to see, they're trying to get away. They don't want to deal with the fact that things are going on in their world that they could possibly stand up and you know, help take back America, but they don't want to. They'd rather sit in the basement, read a magazine or a comic, and try to forget about everything that's going on around them, hoping it just goes away.
Right, like, you know, one of the arguments Todd and Johnny made was that they read comics to escape the horrors of the real world, so they don't want the horrors of the real world intruding on their comics. And okay, there is a place for that. Like I said, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Todd or Johnny, all right? But to me, I don't read comics and science fiction and horror and that to escape the real world. That's what pornography is for, to escape the real world. I read these things to stimulate my mind. The porn is to stimulate something else. But when I read these things, they are to stimulate my mind. I want something thought-provoking. Not like, remember when North Star, the Marvel hero, came out as gay?
Right.
Everyone, oh, they're tackling a real issue.
Mm-hmm.
They did it in such a mind-numbingly stupid, poorly written way that it wasn't even close to being real.
Right.
Whereas when Peter David did it in The Hulk, I can't remember which one of the characters was gay. Remember when the Hulk ran the Pathian?
Mm-hmm.
One of the characters was gay, and it was handled in a realistic, quiet, non-bombastic way. Not two guys yelling at each other, "You're gay! I will kill you!" like the Alpha Flight issue
that's
was.
That's for the South.
Like I said, those are the real Merkins down there. The real Merkins.
Not to offend anybody that's listening down south.
I'm fine with offending them.
If they even have radios down there, I don't know.
This is internet radio. So.
See, that's what I mean. They don't have computers.
But then you also have, remember that horrible, horrible DC miniseries that came out a couple years ago called Rise of the Arsenal?
I don't remember that because I kind of gave up on, that was about the time that comics kind of went.
Yeah, well, they went for me years earlier. But okay, the comic kept billing itself as realistic and kept getting all this praise on, you know, it's a realistic look at a hero dealing with loss and addiction. Okay, first of all, it's poorly written as shit, but I get what they were going for with the realism. Until you get to the last couple issues. Green Arrow's in prison.
Mm-hmm.
In his costume. At one point, Arsenal breaks into a Supermax prison to kill a villain that's in there. All the villains are wandering around in their cells in their costumes. I'm sorry, that destroys any sense of realism you could have attempted to make at that point.
Right.
That's ridiculous. They should be in yellow jumpers.
Right. And they did start doing that a little bit with like Arkham Asylum, that the, you know, the villains are wearing the orange jumpsuits, but they're still in their fucking makeup. They still have their little toys, like, you know, the
it's
puppets.
It's like the end of Halloween 5. Michael Myers is in prison in his mask, in his, you know, in the workman suit. No. That's not how cops would have handled that situation had they actually caught Michael Myers.
Well, maybe in a small town in Illinois.
Yeah, but remember, John Carpenter, even though he wasn't involved in that point, he's never been to a small town in Illinois in October.
Right.
Because Halloween has leaves on all the trees, nobody's wearing a jacket, you can't see anyone's breath, they all have California license plates. He'd never been to Illinois when he made Halloween. That's a whole different... The next episode's all going to be about remakes and shit.
Well, it's funny, because I went past that haunted... When I worked at K&B, that was one of the first things Greg did, is he drove me... Greg Nicotero drove me around, showing me all the spots, saying, do you know what that place is? Oh, my God, it's a diner from Terminator. Yeah, guess what's up the street? Do you recognize that house? Well, kinda. That's Michael Myers' house. Holy shit, it is!
Michael Myers' house from which movie? Because remember, Michael Myers' house in the first movie and the one they used in the fourth and fifth movie, they didn't even look remotely the same.
Right, but that's... I mean, there's the house. I mean, it's, you know, got a different paint on it and everything, but... You, unless you know it's there, you would, you know, there's Illinois.
I think the original Michael Myers house I saw in the Angry Video Game Nerd thing,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a chiropractic office now.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a chiropractor's office now. I don't know about you, but I'd be kind of creeped out to have my back cracked at a place, you know, in Michael Myers' old house.
Right.
Just me, but...
But getting back to the whole prison thing, too, with this, the superheroes and, you know, and the...
Supervillains.
Or supervillains, super yeah. I mean, they're in prison, and they have, like, the Joker's got, you know, his makeup's on. Harlequin's able to visit him every once in a while. Wouldn't you think you would... If he was that fucking bad of a person, he wouldn't be getting guests. He wouldn't be getting... I mean, there'd be people trying to kill his ass in prison, and they would... The guards would let him. They'd be in solitary confinement.
Remember Kingdom Come, the DC miniseries? Yeah. Remember how Magog actually blew the Joker's chest open because... You know, that needed to be done at that point.
Right.
People took criticism over that. Oh my God, the Joker's dead. He's one of the best villains ever. First of all, the Joker's not a great villain. I've never thought that, but I've never understood the whole Batman's rogues gallery thing. Why they are so loved. I've never understood that. He has such a ridiculous rogues gallery, and right now Todd is probably deleting this episode as I'm uploading it because he's a major Batman fan. So he's probably accidentally beeping out random words, but that's something for me and Todd to deal with.
Well, I just saw in one of the new DC relaunch bullshit that they did to bring, you know, their...
The new 52.
Yeah, the 52. Well, the one that's, like, one of the most popular is one of the Batmans. I don't know which one it is. And I just...
Detective, I think, is the one that's selling
okay,
really good.
Okay, because I just picked up two recently, the issue number two of two of the different Batmans, and I didn't read the first issues. And I just looked at it, and I went, holy crap, why it has, like, Two-Face on it. He's all pumped up, and he's choking Batman. I'm like, where the hell, how did he get so big? So I actually started to read it. It's interesting. I shouldn't say read it. I was half asleep, 3 a.m, paging through
it. You flipped through it.
Yeah, but there's a part in it where it's the guy with the ventriloquist. The little guy that carries on the puppet.
I can't think of his name, but I know who you're
talking about. Yeah, he's in the cops got him cornered in this building, and they shoot the fucking ventriloquist dummy apart. So the ventriloquist, which I thought this was brilliant, he's like, you destroyed my doll, so I need a new doll. So he reaches down and shoves his fist because he's pumped up with something. like Venom, I don't know, you know, so he's all muscular. He shoves his fist through this dead cop's back, and that becomes his puppet, and this cop is all riddled with bullets and stuff, and he's using him as his puppet now. And I'm like, that's awesome. I want to see that in a fucking movie. I don't want to see a little wooden thing. Why can't they do that into a film?
Well, one of the criticisms of some of the New 52 is they're too graphic. I mean, too unnecessarily graphic.
Fuck that.
Well, there is a line where you go to the point where it is unnecessarily graphic. You yeah. know? That you could have gotten your point across in a much subtler way. Because you know how you get to that point? You being an effects guy should know this more than anybody. You get to that point where you show just enough to get your point across, but then when you linger too long, it lapses into comedy because the thing looks ridiculous or it's so brutally over the top.
Well, I agree with for film, but comics, you have to, I mean, because you have to show, I mean, you know, it's in your mind. It's you're seeing it act out in your head as you read it. I like that. I want to see, as an effects guy, I want to see this shit. I thought that was, I've never thought of that. I was like, that is freaking awesome. That he just shoved his hand and made his own ventriloquist dummy out of a dead police officer.
Well, speaking of realism, something I've always wondered, and now we're not going to bring up the whole how does Superman and Lois Lane have sex thing without him blowing a load like a shotgun through her back, you know?
I would pay to see that movie, too!
But, like, how does Superman even cut his hair? They've outright shown his hair.
He goes to a barber shop in Harlem, and a black guy cuts his hair.
with hedge trimmers.
Yeah, see? And a bunch of guys talk about Joe Lewis in the background, so...
You know, it also comes down to, at what point are you, like, I'm saying this to the listeners and you also, what point are you willing to suspend your disbelief or stop suspending your disbelief? Because, like, I'm all right with Superman flying and having, you know, him being an alien and getting his powers from the sun, etc., yet I draw the line at him being able to breathe in space. That, to me, is unrealistic, that Superman can breathe in space. How is he talking in space when there's no air and it's a vacuum? That's where I draw the line. Does that make me weird that's the point I cut off?
It depends on... I mean, they've had him in spacesuits where he couldn't, so when he's in deep space...
Yeah, it depends on which part of the... If you were pre-crisis, post-crisis, pre-zero hour, post-zero... They kept fucking
with that. My thing with realism in comics that I kind of disagree with, if there was actually these types of heroes and anti-heroes, the first sign of those, America would fear them. I mean, the military and that would want them dead.
It'd be like the X-Men.
Yeah,
in the Marvel
Universe. They wouldn't, I don't think they would embrace them. I don't care how much good they did. The people of America and the president and the government and all, you know, whatever secret government that runs the government, they would want them dead.
Is sort of Dark Knight Returns. Remember, yeah. The government, either you work for us or we're going to hunt you down.
Right. I mean, you wouldn't, I think they would try to erase these people, especially if they were doing damage to big cities.
On a regular basis.
Yeah, that would be a threat.
You know, because in a weird way, it goes back to J. Jonah Jameson and Spider-Man. Remember his abject hatred of Spider-Man and whatnot? Is he really that wrong to mistrust Spider-Man? Is he really that wrong to mistrust somebody that can do all that and at the drop of a hat could just freak out and go on a rampage?
Right, and that's very easily could happen.
Right.
I like the fact with Iron Man, you know, being an alcoholic. That's realism. Superheroes could do that. I mean, just because they have superpowers don't mean they don't have...
Speedy being a heroin head.
Yeah, they still have vices.
You know, I mean, and he had a daughter out of wedlock with a supervillain.
Right.
You know, that's realistic. You know, he was undercover and things got a little out of hand and, hey, look, we have a kid together.
Yep, and you could see that happening.
You know, but then it also comes down to the whole... Sometimes the comic industry is so needed to keep the status quo. Like, I discussed this on another podcast when people were complaining about how in The Dark Knight Returns, Batman kills the Joker. And they're like, Batman would never do that. And you go, all right, look at it like this. The Joker has killed how many people? Every time Batman captures him, he escapes again and kills more people. Batman captures him, he escapes again, kills more people, etc. At what point is Batman going to say,
you're
if
dead.
I just break his fucking neck, hundreds of lives will be saved. The last 100 people he killed, I could have prevented if I'd have just snapped his fucking neck.
And that's the way it ought to be. And he shouldn't, I mean, after, I can see letting it go for a little bit, you know, and he keeps breaking free, but...
Well, because, yes, some of them might turn around.
Right.
Look at the Injustice League. Mm-hmm. They were all villains that turned to heroes. They were morons, and as heroes, they actually caused more destruction and whatnot, but that was the point, that they were all idiots.
Right.
But they actually all became good guys. Sometimes in comics, the reform works.
Right.
So you can't just kill them outright, Punisher style.
Well, and that, I mean, that's like with the old comic books that, like, that, you know, I grew up in, you know, kid in the 70s buying comics when they were cheap.
When they were 15?
Yeah.
15 cents.
Well, they weren't that cheap.
I remember how much I complained when a comic went up to a dollar.
I could, for 75 cents. Yeah, I remember, you know, my mom giving me a dollar and I could maybe squeak 5 comics out of that at a grocery store. But, you know, comics back then, yeah, it was a different time. The world was almost kind of peaceful back then. We didn't have, there wasn't that much like today to worry about.
Well, you still had NOM through 74.
Right, but I mean, there wasn't like, you know, today that, you know, with stuff on our home grounds happening, terrorism and shit like that. Or if it was, we just didn't know about it.
As a kid, yeah. I didn't know from the Sandinistas were Santa Claus spelled wrong.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, like I've said, you know, growing up, I thought that I grew up in a small town in Wisconsin, and Wausau was this big town that I used to have to drive, you know, 2 hours just to get fucking school clothes and stuff.
I was born there.
All right. But I would hear on the nightly news that there was, you know, that there's guerrilla warfare in Wausau.
Warsaw, right. Wausau.
I'd watch Planet of the Apes all the time, and I was all excited that, hey, when I go school clothes shopping, I'm going to see a damn dirty ape, because that's happening in Wausau. But
a damn dirty ape with a machine gun.
Yeah, and, well, maybe I did run into a couple of those, maybe, but, you know, I don't, you know, these were people that worked at the grocery stores there that would sell me the comics for a quarter or whatever, so... Anyhow,
Wisconsin has its share of hillbillies.
Yeah.
People think we're a northern state. It's true. We got a lot of rednecks up here, man.
Right. So, I mean, that was the type of, you know, stuff that I grew up with as a kid, but you didn't know that the world was bad. And I really, looking back, I don't think it really was as bad as it is today. So, you didn't have to lock your car doors and your homes.
I'm going to argue with that a little bit. Because the world wasn't as bad unless you were a woman or gay or black or Latino.
See,
or you didn't own land. You know, if you know, it's like things were really good for white Christian males.
And that's, you know, the population in the town that I grew up in. But
I know, but I'm just saying you gotta look at it, you know, realistically that...
Oh, right, but
women are not going to be looking at the fond memories of that time. Blacks are not going to be looking at the... Homosexuals are not going to be looking at the... Jews are not going to be looking at fond memories of that time.
But that small little town that I grew up in where there was... Which is, you know, I consider hometown America. You know, everybody knew...
Right.
Yeah, everybody knew everybody. You left your... You know, you could leave your houses open. You know, everybody helped everybody, neighborly and things like that. I mean, that was what I grew up with, and I'm sure there's many towns around America that were the same. Comics at that time were jovial, just like, you know, just like the times that I knew. I mean, there wasn't the violence was cut back. There was, you know, like you said, Spider-Man could string somebody up and, you know, thank you, Spider-Man. That's what I grew up with because that's what my hometown, if Spider-Man was in Eagle River, that's the way it ought to be. Then once I grew up and you know, the horrors of the world start hitting you, that's when I kind of changed and I wanted to see actually that into my comic books. That's when, as I changed, the world changed, comic books changed too. I didn't want to see the jovial, you know, I wanted to see what would really happen if, you know, Superman threw somebody, you know, into a building. They wouldn't just bounce off. They would go right through the building. The building would collapse. People would probably die. And like you said, what's the outcome of that?
Yeah, and well, I wonder, and maybe this has happened. Keep in mind, I have not read DC for years, nor Marvel. I quit Marvel after Civil War, and that was, what, 03, 02?
Somewhere around there.
And so maybe this kind of thing has happened. But let's say we take the scenario you just brought up. Superman throws somebody into a building. It kills somebody that's inside. Could they sue Superman for the damages? Could they sue Superman for wrongful death? Could a prosecutor prosecute Superman for wrongful death?
Right. And
these are the kind of questions I want to know. I want to see this.
The first comic that I actually read that actually became more adult and started to bring adult things into my eyes, that bullets weren't bouncing off people and all that, or, you know, the G.I. Joe shoot at each other for 30 minutes, no one would get hit.
New Teen Titans in the 80s, the George Perez Marvel ones?
Actually, the
ones?
Punisher. When the Punisher came out, and it was violent. It was dirty, gritty.
I actually got to say, and I'm a big Punisher fan, but New Teen Titans were doing that stuff before that. I mean, you'd have, you know, Robin...
Wasn't it around the same time?
No, New Teen Titans was 81. Punisher didn't... I mean, he came out in 75, but he only appeared in Spider-Man, so it was still relatively family safe. He didn't get his own miniseries till 86.
Right, but when he originally came out in that Spider-Man issue, he was trying to kill Spider-Man.
Yes, but it was still in that cartoony killing
in the 70s
sort of
way. Right, but when you picked up that cover, I mean, that cover just says everything, where he's got Spider-Man in the crosshairs. You're like, holy shit. You know, this guy's going to kill Spider-Man as a kid.
Pull one trigger and Spider-Man's
done.
Yeah,
and that's when it suddenly you realized it, you know, as a kid, holy crap, there's somebody out there. And, you know, yes, the Punisher became kind of an anti-hero, friends with everybody in the Marvel Universe type thing.
Oh,
but,
no, he never became friends with them.
Well, yeah, well, it depends. But the original Punisher wanted Spider-Man dead. And he
the original, but you got to remember, the original Punisher was also a contract assassin.
Right, but
he
that's
was doing
the first,
it on contract from the Jackal.
Exactly, but that's the first time as a kid we saw. Wait a minute, somebody could hire somebody to kill somebody else, and
that
it's
just
glad,
that it's just
that,
that easy,
and someone would just take it and not have any conscious, you know, didn't even care, just would pull a trigger and shoot him and collect his money.
Elektra, the early Elektra stuff in Daredevil.
Right.
She was an assassin. I remember once, I don't remember what issue it was, whoever she was paid to assassinate, she did it in a movie theater. She stabbed the guy with a scythe through the back of his
right.
movie theater, and you see the scythe sticking out from under his shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, shit, that's brutal. And this is early, mid-80s?
But look when that came out, though. I mean, yes, the X-Men, it was the whole... You know, they tied some of the anti-war
and clear racism.
Yeah, the
analogy.
Racism and stuff into that, but it didn't. It was told more as like, okay, through superheroes. You know, the superheroes' eyes and the little government group trying to, you know, take them. But the fucking Punisher was a hired assassin to kill another person. And there it was, right on the cover. I mean, that was just something you looked at. I mean, Hulk never killed anybody up till then, or, you know, they'd shoot him, the army would shoot him, things like that. You never saw that. You never saw that kind of that just deep down darkness in someone that they could just, you know, take some money, kill somebody, and just scurry off into the darkness.
But like I said, the New Teen Titans did that under Wolfman and Perez. Remember, okay, first of all, that was the first time. Or maybe not the first time, because I remember Black Canary and Green Arrow used to sleep together. They used to imply they had mm-hmm. sex. But remember Dick Grayson and Karan Daror?
Mm-hmm.
They had sex on a regular. They showed them in bed post-coital, in you know a Comics Code approved book. That's
right,
the
but
first
also
time
as
ever
a kid,
seen
though
that.
I know, but as a kid too, sometimes you looked at that and it wasn't. I mean, until they actually started printing people in the act, you know, like Watchmen and things like that, that were, you know, started to become so controversial that, you know, for some people, they just didn't really realize. I mean, that never crossed their mind. It was still kind of jovial, you know, the sex and the drugs and things like that. They made reference to it, but they didn't actually show a needle going into an arm. And
oh, hell, you know, yeah. The cover of the Speedy Green Lantern Green Arrow, the needle's in his arm.
But when did that come out?
76.
Was that in 76?
76.
I don't
remember.
Yeah,
it was actually that old.
Holy crap, I'm aged now. Well, oh, god damn.
You also have a language issue. Now, do you remember the X-Men graphic novel, and those who... I'm actually using the correct term of graphic novel here. God Loves, Man Kills, from the early 80s?
I remember the title, but I refreshed my memory on that.
A crazy TV preacher has it in for mutants.
Okay.
And so he starts preaching. He's got this, like, device that will, like, hemorrhage the brains of any mutants. And so he needs to get on TV to broadcast it through the airwaves. And It's all a thinly veiled analogy towards the evils of religion and preaching hate.
Okay.
Okay, I'm fine with that to that point. Actually, it's a great book. I'm fine with the whole book. And Magneto and the X-Men team up because obviously they have a real, you know, common goal in this. But there's one line. Do you remember Stevie, that black chick that hung out with the X-Men? She was like a dance instructor. You remember this is late 70s. On TV, the preacher keeps using the word mutie. And Chris Claremont got into so much trouble for this one line of dialogue, and I think there's no other way he could have put this. Stevie was wondering why Kitty was getting so angry about it, and she goes, calling us mutie is the same as somebody that would have called you a nigger.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time I'd ever seen nigger in a Marvel comic.
Right.
And it was necessary. It was contextual. They needed to use that word.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Chris Claremont got into so much trouble for using that word in an X-Men book.
Right.
And it's like, it needed to be. There are certain points where the thinly veiled analogy, you can't do that anymore. You have to outright say it.
Here's something to think about, though, about the realism versus the non-realism argument. Do you think that, you know, the kids, they finally realize that they weren't, because their schools are so shitty now that they don't teach the kids jack, that the only way kids are reading is through comic books. So what did they do? They started to show news because these kids aren't watching shit on TV. They don't care what's happening in the real world. They almost started having to put this into what they were actually reading so that the kids would start realizing as they grew up, hey, this is an issue or this is going on. Do you think that that could have been, that could have been the turning point of putting that in because kids were, no longer socializing with their parents or, they weren't sitting around the family dinner table.
That damn rock music and Dungeons and Dragons took my son away.
It sure did. But that, that could have been one of the reasons because that's when that taught kids then, yes, there's this type of, shit that's going on in the real world. I grew up with one of my friends who now is a big writer for does a lot of stuff for Marvel and that Sean McKeever. I grew up with Sean. Sean's a very good friend of mine. I would sit with Sean and we'd talk about this type of stuff about comics and read comics, and he wanted to always become a writer for comics, and he wrote very realistic stories that dealt with things of today and how they, how they would play out into the Marvel universe. And he would send these out to people, he didn't have an agent or anything. He would just write these scripts and send them out to Marvel and that, and he'd get responses back, but no one would take it, seriously because of how realistic his stories were to the times that we were growing up in. And now all of a sudden, he's this big writer. And if you go back ever and look at some of his earlier comics that were put out, the Waiting Place, I do believe was like the first comic he put out. And then every comic after that he's written, he really writes in, tries to put in very realistic things that are going on in the world because he felt that was necessary in a comic to show that, to place these heroes into our actual...
into real situations.
Yeah, our situations, yeah. And now he's, getting paid to do this, and his comics are very, very intelligently written and very, I think they're great. The Watchmen, when it came out, that was I'm talking the comic.
Right, and I'm not trying to discredit what Watchmen did for comics, but the fact that Dark Knight Returns came out first,
say
Watchmen would have been absolutely groundbreaking if that ground had not already been broken by Frank Miller before he went batshit insane and became and started writing Crazy Steve instead of Batman. Before Frank Miller went batshit insane, Dark Knight Returns is so... I mean, I just read it again a couple of years ago.
It's great.
It's actually... the weird thing, it's more socially relevant now
mm-hmm.
than it was in 1986. I mean, if you can get past the references to the Ruskies and Reagan, it actually is more apt now than it was in 86.
Correct.
But then you also have other things. Like, let's look at the psychological aspect. I've always had this one issue, especially Batman. He truly believes what he's doing is right as a vigilante, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see the internal struggle with Batman knowing that he is breaking the same laws as that he is sworn to uphold in to himself. What is that internal battle with him that he is being a vigilante, yet he cannot countenance vigilantes?
I'd like to see
he
that.
He stops vigilantes, but he is one. He beats up people for beating up people. You know, I want to see...
Yeah, he's the bully.
Yeah, I want to see the internal struggle with him trying to countenance what he truly is.
Has there been a comic where any spin-off character, kind of like the whole Star Wars with the Jango Boba Fett, which...
but we're not getting into that. Right, Scott and I already did a Star Trek
Okay, we're
show.
Not even, No, we're Star not going to get show. Into that, but what if Batman did something to a villain and, you know, killed him? I don't know if there is one like this that, you know, he maybe killed that person or put him in prison for life for something, and the kid, there's a kid involved that had to witness this and grow up that's just like Batman. So now it's the same...
He's trying to get revenge against Batman.
Yeah, and it's the same situation. And what it wouldn't that be, you know, at that point where these two are fighting and they finally come to terms that they're both fighting for the same freaking reason, I don't think there's been a comic like that. I'd like to see that.
I'd like to see... Well, one that I know I took a bunch of criticism, and I can't remember when this came out. It would be 90s, I think, but I can't remember exactly when, that this comic came under criticism again for trying to bring realism into comics was, it was an Elseworlds story where instead of Superman crashing in Kansas, he crashed in Russia.
Mm, yeah,
and he grew
I
up
have
as
that.
Rush as Russia's mm-hmm. superhero, and he made Russia the top country in the world. And I remember people that offended people that how dare they take one of the symbols of American patriotism in comic books and make him a commie red.
Right.
I remember that came under so much criticism, and I was just going, I'm glad. Well, glad somebody had the balls to write that story.
Right, and that could be getting back to what we just discussed, too, about the, you know, everybody fighting for the same reason. I mean, that's kind of like with war, too. I mean, the people that are fighting for their country truly believe that their country's in the right. Not everybody there, but everybody's fighting for their country.
Do you notice overseas, like in Iraq and that, if there are allies, they're rebels. If they're...
Right.
You know, even though the same people that we're killing are fighting for their own country and they see us as the invaders, they're, you know, we are right. That's
well, they,
the, that's
they,
the, our
they
mindset
put that into,
going
that's
in.
The whole, you know, that's how they spin it on in the news and the media, because they want us back here to think, damn those people.
It's
they
like,
have to use a different word for them, so we automatically look at them differently.
Yeah. I remember there was a big controversy a couple of years ago about Fox that said, do we have to keep using the word snipers when referring to American snipers? Can't we call them something else that has less of a sting? You know, because it's all about image.
Right.
And, you know, and then you've also got, again, something that comics have always had, the blatant sexism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Marvel and DC are actually some of the least villains in this. Look at the independents. Look at especially Image.
Right.
Has Image ever had a female character that does not look like she stepped out of the pages of Maxim? Have they ever had an overweight character? Have they ever had a character that has sausage fingers or maybe is a little too
growing
short?
Growing up in Wisconsin, I have. No. But go on.
You know what I mean. It's like you look at like a Rob Liefeld book.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean ones he drew. I mean all the stuff under his, because he changes companies every year.
Right.
Under all his banners, they're all Maxim. They're all Maxim models. And they all stand in that ridiculous, you know, like their spine
well,
is gone.
That's what the people, you know, I think the people.
By people, you mean the readers?
The readers, yeah. The fans and that, that's what they're kind of, they think a majority of them that are, you know, well, let's face it, me and you are considered probably big freaking geeks because we still read comic books and we're, you know, and we're of our age and we're still going to comic book stores and buying toys and stuff. Well, hell yeah, if that's what it is, then I'm a geek. But
I'm not ashamed of it.
Yeah, but see, they're thinking some people's geek terms are, you know, just what you see, like the parents in the the kids in the basement.
Mr. Douchey, yeah, McNitpick.
That, you know, if you show them somebody like, you know, the Dawn character, you know, wearing lingerie and you know, big breasts and everything, that's what they're trying to appeal to. So readers in the basement.
But Dawn is supposed to be an idealized, I mean, even in the book, right, an idealized version of a woman.
The so-called geeks, they think that that's what everybody wants. And, you know, we're because we'll never date that or never be able to, you know, marry or have sex with somebody like that.
I gave Marvel a bunch of props. You remember that that overweight black chick that used to run the Suicide Squad? I gave DC props for having a main character like that. The Boss, she's incredibly smart, she's incredibly capable, but she's like 300 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I gave DC a lot of credit for not making her a Wonder Woman clone.
Right, but that's not, I mean, but that is that still a popular character?
I don't even know if she's in the New 52.
No.
To me, DC's dead. Scott and I have had this conversation. DC Comics is dead. I will never read another DC book after this bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I only read old DC comics.
Right.
So I honestly have no idea if that character is still around. I'm a geek and I cannot remember her name. That's what's really bothering me.
I can't either.
She was a fat black chick that ran the Suicide Squad.
But most people want to see, I mean, that's why you see, you know, I know people like the new Wonder Woman TV show that they're going to put out.
The David E. Kelly one.
The designs for the new costume, people were all offended by it.
Well, it was pretty ugly. I mean, I wasn't offended because it wasn't Wonder Woman. I was offended because it was just some bad choices.
Well, there's that, but I mean, I read a lot of people giving, you know, them shit because they wanted her in the bustier and, you know, hardly anything on, running around. Well, is that really going to happen? You know, I'm sorry, I don't think so. I mean, I'd rather see something a little more realistic that, you know, even if she's got, you know, to me, that's more of a turn on if it's like a normal everyday girl that's kicking ass than somebody that's running around with lingerie on going, you know, totally out of place, running down the street fighting crime.
Silk Spectre in the Watchmen movie.
Right.
You know, she was hardly realistic, whereas
Night
Owl, Night Owl was a more realistic character, kind of a fat, out of shape, guy who's sort of in over his head, yet mm-hmm. can get the job done.
But I mean,
we identified a little bit more with Night Owl.
I'd rather see though them, you know, getting back to the realism. I'd rather see their costumes more fit in with what, like the. You wouldn't see them on the street. You went, shit, if you saw somebody dressed like Wonder Woman and...
You'd laugh.
Right, you'd laugh. Or also, you wouldn't let your kids look at it because their breasts are hanging out. And you also, if you're the Punisher, you couldn't peg that shiny fucking spandex off in a crosshairs. I'd rather see it blend in with everybody so you can't tell what it is.
Right. Well, okay, to go into movies just a little bit, comic movies, what was the deal? This is something that's really pissed me off. You've heard about the new Punisher TV series that HBO just commissioned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, for you and the listeners, I'm going to describe what the plot is, and you tell me what's wrong with this plot. Frank Castle, New York City police detective, is sick of seeing people get off on technicalities, so by night, he becomes the Punisher. What was wrong with what I just described there?
Well, let's see. You just described, what was it, Nighthawk or Night...
Shadowhawk, I think you're thinking of, or that's basically the old TV series Dark Justice, except that was a judge. But here, Frank Castle, why is Frank Castle a police officer? I mean, first, the movies had this obsession. Dolph Lundgren's character in the 1989 movie, cop. Thomas Jane's character in the 2004 movie,
cop.
FBI agent. Frank Castle in the Ultimate Universe, police officer.
Mm-hmm.
The Punisher is not a cop. He was never a cop.
Talking about Punisher again real fast, I did like it when Wolverine tore him to pieces. Chopped the shit out of him in an alley. He was in chunks. That's realistic. That's what would happen if you put those two together. what followed, where he became Frankencastle.
I heard about that.
Okay, that's not real.
I heard about that.
So I guess, see, they're trying to appeal to both sides on that one. Realistic, he gets chopped to shit. Let's appeal to the people that like the little cheesiness and make him Frankencastle.
Well, like, I'm really not a fan of this writer, but he did have a really good one-shot. Did you ever read The Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe?
Yes.
That was... Talk about realism.
That was very...
He took down all these superheroes using, again, real-world techniques. Although in that, he was a cop again, for no apparent reason.
But he knew how to take him down because he used strategy. He knew how they operated. He knew how to kill them.
Well, and speaking of the Punisher in our last 5 minutes, let's look at... Now, I'm dealing with both comics and movies, TV, etc. I understand it's been so long since the Vietnam War that making him a Vietnam vet would put the character in his late 50s,
right, so you
got to
make it more modern.
But when they make him an Iraq veteran, I'm sorry, or Desert Storm veteran, I mean, I'm sorry, what Desert Storm veterans went through and NAM veterans went through
is not the same thing.
You're not going to get the
same
psychological
fallout. We can't say that,
though,
because we didn't fight in the war, and if you put two of those guys
but
in
I'm
the room, maybe it was to them.
But to me, everything I saw, like, you know, Desert Storm veterans came back as heroes. NAM veterans came back as baby killers.
Right,
you know,
but they're still...
The country, even just
war
the country,
war,
treated those two... kinds of veterans totally
well,
different.
Well, here, getting on to another comic right at the very end, and we both have talked about this. The Moon Knight that used to be in the big colored magazines of Hulk.
When they were in the backup of the Hulk.
Yeah,
right.
There was a story with Moon Knight where his brother came back and was...
As an axe murderer.
Yeah, it was fucked up, and he started killing people, and Moon Knight knew it was his brother, figured it out, and had to go, well, do I let him go or do I kill my own brother? Because
that's the only way he's going to stop him. Yeah.
That comic still stuck with me ever since a kid.
Because, first of all, it's incredibly well written.
Very well
beautiful.
Done.
Beautiful. It's back when Bill Sienkiewicz was still doing his Neil Adams impersonation.
Well, I thought it was Bernie Wrightson as a kid. I compared
it
to Bernie Wrightson.
That's
right.
Bill Sienkiewicz.
But, I mean, that comic is just one of those things where if you're in that situation, what the hell would you do? You know, it's your brother, and... The only way you're going to stop him is
you
have
like
to
the
kill
Joker,
him. What do you do?
He's going to keep killing people.
Right.
He's not going to stop.
And what did the Moon Knight do?
He impaled him on a big stick.
That's right.
Well, and then you also have... This is something that's always been a nit I've always picked. And I'm sorry, I refuse to accept the whole unstable molecules thing from Reed Richards. You know? Superman, you know, a building falls on him. He gets shot with a bazooka. Everything burns away. His hair is not messed up. His suit's just fine. Cape's
right.
not on fire. So what? Is his cape made out of a special material? What the hell? How come their costumes only seem to get damaged in strategic places?
Right.
Like, I want to see some villain that cuts Superman's pants off. Batman running around in his underwear with just the Batman top on. That would be funny to me.
Talking about another realistic comic, The Crow. Okay, he's an anti-hero. He got killed, but his whole thing is revenge. He comes back, and he just kills the people that wronged him, that killed him. He takes them down, and then what does he do? He doesn't go off and fight crime. He doesn't go into Detroit and start saving everybody's life. His job is done.
You know, I'd love to see him engage with RoboCop at some point. That would be pretty cool. I just thought of that when you brought up Detroit.
Well,
that
maybe
would be
we
pretty
could start,
damn awesome.
Maybe we could get a petition started to make a Crow statue. Right in the ghetto.
But, yeah, because that totally wouldn't get defaced.
Which would be downtown Detroit if anybody's ever been there, but...
Would it be in bad taste if you shot it with a prop gun in the stomach? Oh, man, I can't believe I just did that.
It's been a while, though. It's you can say that now, I think. It's okay. But still, I mean, what if, you know, that's another thing for superheroes. You know, why do they have to keep, you know, they have their supervillains. What if they wipe them all out? Done. Then what do they do? Well, they're tax salesmen. What do they do?
Used car
salesmen.
In our last minute, I also want to tackle what happens when a character is in too many places at one time. Remember when Wolverine was at the height of his popularity? He'd be appearing in X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, Wolverine, New Mutants, X-Force, Punisher, Spider-Man, Hulk. You know, he'd be appearing in all these that all take place simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Does this character even sleep? Does he poop?
Right.
Is he like Jack Bauer where he doesn't have to use the bathroom in a whole day?
And then here's another thing. You think that they're not realistic now. Well, here, they are not realistic. You never see their fucking families. You see, like, maybe Spider-Man's the only one that really dealt with families. You never see their families, so see, it's still fake, because if it was a supervillain, what would I do? If I can't wipe him out, I'll wipe out his fucking family.
Exactly. So, I want to thank Hank. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about movie remakes. Hank's got a little screed he wants to go on. I don't know. We have not rehearsed this, so I don't know what his little screed is going to be. So, I am saying you can find me at lostinthestaticshow@gmail.com. And where can people find you?
They can go to autumnnightstudios.com.
All right, autumnnightstudios.com.
And remember, any sex products you want, sex toys, sex books.
AdamandEve.com. That's use right. Use promo code STATIC, because since Hank's only a guest star, he doesn't get a cut of the money.
No, but maybe they'll send me a freebie.
Maybe.
All right.